All the years that have passed since they were written, yet across all of these centuries, they still have a same message, a special message. These words have caught the imagination of little children, challenged the thinking of strong young men and women, given comfort to senior citizens, given strength to the weak and faith to those who are about to give up. For those who have trusted, this has become a pattern of their thinking. When a person becomes saturated with it, a new way of thinking and facing life is the result. It contains only 118 words, this whole 23rd Psalm. Most people could memorize it in a very short time. In fact, most of us know it already, have known it for a long time. But when you begin to think about and believe these words and the thoughts here, to know this beautiful psalm is to love it. More griefs have been put to rest. More sadness has been driven away. And more confidence has been instilled than tongues or words can describe. These words truly reflect the security of divine love.
Amen, amen.
A minister, late Reverend Dr. Deron King, most recently of Chicago before he went to glory, tells a story in a sermon. I heard him talk about it. He said, you know, I had a friend of mine who is a medical doctor visiting in my home. And he brought his son, who was about 10 years old, and my son the same age. And while the adults were in the living room and getting acquainted, the boys were on the porch. And as things were quiet, they could hear the boys talking. And what they said, while none of it was bad, it was certainly interesting. Because the boy whose father was a doctor said to his son, he said, what kind of doctor is your father? He said, now, my father is a podiatrist, and he works on people's feet. Most of his patients are women, since women wear shoes that even the Lord Almighty didn't plan for them to wear. And so they're always in trouble about it. But what kind of doctor is your father? He said, well, my father is a Baptist preacher. And he said, well, what kind of doctor is that? He said, well, it's not the kind of doctor that can do you any good if you're really sick. Now the adults are listening to this. You know, they call me doctor sometime, much of the time. I remember I was getting on a plane once with some people who were mentioning me being Dr. Peters. And one of the flight attendants, they used to call them stewardess, stopped me and said, Mister, can I talk to you for a minute? I didn't know whether she was flirting or giving directions or what. This was a long time ago when people were. And she said, I want to know what kind of doctor you are because people get sick on flight sometime. And I said, I'm not the kind of doctor that can do you any good if somebody is physically sick. And I'm not. I can't examine you. I can't diagnose your ailment. I can't have you admitted to the hospital. I can't operate on you. But if your ailment stems from a spiritual root, if you suffer from doubt and worry, if you feel lonely and forsaken and that nobody cares what happens to you, I want to tell you that the doctor is in. And while I can't operate, I can write some spiritual prescriptions. So if you need personal power to help you to make it in tough times, if you need spiritual power to deal with the inescapable pain of human heartbreak, here is your prescription. The Lord is my shepherd. And if you take it as directed, if it becomes absorbed in your system, if it becomes a part of you, it will give you the power which you say you want. You see, to know this word and believe this word is to love it.
Yes, sir.
Now, many times a doctor, when he wants to give you some new medication, will cancel out some of the old medicine.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if you want to take this prescription that I'm talking about, you may have to stop taking some of that other medicine that you've been feeding yourself. You have to stop talking bad about yourself. You got to get rid of some of the doubts and fears that you have. You've been taking regular doses of I can't, and I won't, and I don't know how, and I never had a chance. You got to stop taking some of that. Paul said it like this: forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to the things that are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Come on, sir.
I have three brief points. The first one is the shepherd. Now, make no mistake about it. The principal character in the shepherd's psalm is the shepherd. By the same token, the principal person in the story of the prodigal son is the father. When we say, "The Lord is my shepherd," we take so much for granted. But some questions need to be raised. Does the Lord have the credentials to be my owner, my manager, my shepherd? How did he come to be my shepherd? Did he purchase me? Will he keep me from hurt, harm, and danger? These are searching questions, and they demand honest answers. It is clear, and should be to everyone, that you've got to remember what the Bible tells us in the Old Testament. The Lord is Jehovah, the God of Israel. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He fainteth not, neither groweth weary. There is no searching of his might. You recall how another psalmist said on another day, "It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." So it all started in the mind of God. So when a man or woman or boy or girl makes this simple statement, "The Lord is my shepherd," it states that their faith is in a working relationship between humanity and divinity, between man and his creator. Just to say it from your heart is to declare a dependence on God. All the things which the Lord God Jehovah conceived, Jesus Christ confirmed. You see, certain divine principles were born in the heart of Jehovah. It was not until God came incarnate in the flesh in Jesus Christ that we received the confirmation of these things. Jesus used many parables and metaphors to help us understand who he was and what his mission was. He talked about being the bread of the world and the light of the world and the door and others. But one day when he wanted to make it plain to a group of shepherds, he used the fact that all of them, for the Old Testament, the Psalms are a hymn book of the Hebrew people. He used the fact that they've been saying the 23rd Psalm and singing it all of their lives. So on that day, when Jesus wanted to make it plain, he said, "I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd will give his life for the sheep." You know, we live in a day of lack of absolutes, where there are legitimate questions about what is good or bad or high or low or right or wrong. We need to know that there is such a thing as a bad shepherd. His stock is always weak and riddled with disease or parasites. They are poorly fed and not watered often enough. His sheep can only stand sadly by the fence. This is the poor shepherd's sheep. And watch the other sheep who belong to another shepherd that are well cared for. and wishing that he was their shepherd.
Well,
see, a good shepherd, like a good parent, must have a combination of tenderness and toughness. Not only was Jesus gentle, tender, and sentimental, but he was as stern as steel when he had to be, and terribly tough on Pharisees and hypocrites. A good shepherd must know his sheep. He must be able to call them by name. The sheep leading the shepherd is no good, but the good shepherd leads the flock. He goes before them. He gives them direction. He points the way. If you will take this prescription, you will be able to hear the shepherd say, "When you walk through waters, I'll be with you. And rivers will not overflow you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. I'm glad that my shepherd knows my name." One old song used to say, "If I live right, God will call me. And when God calls me, I will answer. And I'll be somewhere listening for my name." What is God like? Jesus told a story of a man that had 100 sheep. And when he went to put them up for the night, he found out that he was missing one. Only had 99. That would be pretty good odds to have 99 out of 100. But not Jesus. Jesus tells the story of the shepherd that goes out into the night, searching and looking for that one poor, weary, limping lamb. One songwriter said, "Happy day, oh happy day, since Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day when Jesus came to find us." Secondly, the sheep. Now, the shepherd is the principal character in this psalm of love, but David, in spite of having been a shepherd, is not claiming that now. Rather, he is saying that I am one of the sheep. I am therefore the recipient of all of the blessings which belong to the sheep. He seems to be shaking his finger in the face of life's circumstances, saying, "Look at who my shepherd is. The Lord is my shepherd. I am somebody." In his book, The Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, Philip Keller said that he would never forget the first time he purchased sheep. It wasn't like he was taking care of somebody else's sheep. These were his. He had bought and paid for them. And it makes a difference when something is yours. Well, David had been through some rough times in his life. You know something about that, don't you? You know what some of the things are that he went through. You are in the number of people who have been lifted as he was. Another old song that we don't sing much anymore says, "Oh, what a shame to kill him there on that rugged cross. But such a death was needed to rescue all the lost. His blood was made a ransom to set the captives free. I know that I'm included, and he will remember me." So you are in the number of those who indeed blessed by God. I don't know if you notice about sheep or not, but sheep are very dependent. It has been said that no other animal except human beings needs more care and feeding and nurturing than a lamb. Isn't it strange? Because we human beings are the weakest. Anybody else in the animal world can make it from the day they're born, except human babies. And that's something that can't be done. If you've raised any, you know that. But you have to understand that a shepherd is always doctoring these fragile animals. We human beings need so much. We are just like them. We are very dependent. You realize how dependent we are? Well, not just as babies. We all know that. But we need so much. Modern day scientists have just scratched the surface of the study of psychosomatic medicine. People who just need medicine because they think they need medicine. And every time you go to a new doctor, he wants to give you a new pill. There's a real vital relationship between what we think and believe and how we feel. I have a favorite sermon that I've been preaching for many years. It's called When You Talk to Yourself. And one of the things I say in that sermon is that you can get up in the morning and tell yourself that you feel sick. And the next 15 minutes you're telling that you feel miserable. And if you talk like that to yourself, every 15 minutes, by 12 o'clock, you're going to need a doctor. You can talk yourself of being sick or lonely or afraid. We're so fragile, we easily hurt. Miss a step and fall, and it hurts. Turn our heads too quickly, and we may strain our necks. Jerk our arm and throw it out of place. We are physically delicate and need a lot of TLC. And our emotional machinery is so delicate that we can be easily hurt. Somebody talk about our parents or mistreat our children or constantly put us down, do things to deflate our fragile egos or lower our self-esteem. We're ready to fall apart or strike back. I had a doctor friend in Connecticut who said, a lady came to him one day and said, "Doctor, please prescribe me some happiness pills." And she said, he told her, "I'm sorry, but I don't have that prescription. I don't have the ability to write you any happiness pills. If they had anything like that, I'd take some myself." And I said, when he said that, "Well, tell me about it." But church, today, the doctor's in. And I'm writing spiritual prescriptions. I'll give you a combination of ingredients which, if you mixed in the proper way and taken according to directions, it will give you happiness. You won't be talking yourself into sickness because you have a shepherd who treats your sickness. You won't be upset about people talking about you because they can't upset your emotional machinery when you know that the Lord is your shepherd. It does make a major difference when the Lord is your shepherd. You see, it doesn't matter how much people put you down if you know who you are. Don't worry, just take a strong dose of "I am somebody and I will make it because the Lord is my shepherd." You ever read the life story of Ethel Waters? Maybe you don't even remember her. But you can, in today's world, I tell people you can look up anything in Google. They got it all somehow. You don't need encyclopedias anymore. They've accumulated all of it. And you can just press a couple of buttons and get it. Read up on Ethel Waters. She sang a song like this. With all of her headaches and all of her heartaches, she said, "Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my shepherd, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. So I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." Thirdly, the personal relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. Now, the Old Testament often talks about relationships with God in large groups of people. You remember that most covenants were with a nation and a group of people. But in this beautiful prescription from David, here he is talking about a personal relationship with God. He's not saying that the Lord is the shepherd of the world at large, or that he leadeth forth the multitude as his flock. No, none of that. His words are personal. The Lord is my shepherd. God could have given us these noble words written by the hand of God, like 10 commandments from the tablets of stone, but no. He gave them from a man who was just like us. Maybe he was worse than most of us, but he was, because he was bad. I don't even like to go over. You know the story. It's unforgettable. You look at all that he did, Bathsheba and Uriah and that whole story. It's staggering. But he said that he gave these words through a man like us, a human being, a man who had passed through deep water and suffered real humiliation and known pain. Yet he was a man who could speak out of his own great experience and tell us how he made it, because the Lord was his shepherd. You can't take this prescription in an abstract form. It's got to be in the concrete. You can't take it for your children or your parents. You must take it for yourself. It must be personal. The Lord is my shepherd. That's very personal, isn't it? It tells us what we need to know. I can't take it for you, and you can't take it for me. The old songs, popular songs, said, I got my troubles and you got yours. But you must get the medicine bottle and take your own medicine. There's nothing which speaks like the voice of experience. Nobody can tell you like one who can say, I have been there, I know. Nobody can tell you what tears taste like if you haven't tasted any. No one can tell you what disappointment is like if you've never been disappointed. It's a terrible thing to be disappointed, to wait for someone and they don't show up, to reach for them in a time of need and they're not there, to expect something of someone and they don't live up to it. But if you have a shepherd, if you have taken this shepherd prescription to the prayer pharmacy and gotten it filled, and don't just pray and leave it there, but take it with you. When you fly, don't pack it in your suitcase. Carry it in your purse or in your briefcase, something that you'll have with you. It may get lost otherwise, and you need it all the time. And I close with this. This prescription is personal. You must take it yourself. Notice, if you will, the emphasis on the personal pronoun. And you need to say this sometime out loud, because the one you're really talking to is yourself. Yes. You're reminding yourself of what this prescription has done for you. Yes. And when you talk about God, it now becomes personal. Here's the way I say it sometime. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Yeah. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Yes, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yeah. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Yes. You anoint my head with oil. Yes. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life. Yes. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God bless you.